Closure, part four. My epigraph this time is a stanza from a song by Toots and the Maytals. As the pressure drop, oh pressure, yeah, pressure gonna drop on you. I say pressure drop, oh pressure, yeah, pressure gonna drop on you. To fully contextualize the magnitude of this moment of liberation, I see now that I need to go back about 50 years. The last time I felt something of this sort, to set an even broader context. Sorry, I know I promised only a 10-day window, but sometimes when you finally get how time works, right now, and 10 days and 50 years are, as I said, sitting right there on top of one another, all one. So, right after I graduated from college in 1971, generally adrift, waiting for a draft notice I was certain was coming, given my lottery number, and that I knew I wouldn't accede to, surely ruining, perhaps ending my life, I moved to Pittsburgh, and among many other unfocused things, decided to take several graduate courses at Carnegie Mellon University. One on Shakespeare, one on then-current theories of teaching, one on contemporary linguistics, all in an effort to decide if that's how I wanted to spend my life, if I was still to have one going forward. It was a dreadful year, utterly life-draining. I couldn't find the inner resources to make a commitment to anything. There was, yes, a part of me with a vague sense that teaching English was a possibility someday. Another part that thought about becoming a psychological counselor. Another part that just wanted to ditch the whole arena of intellectual work and professional cultures in general. Take a real job. All year, I just kept spinning my wheels and becoming more and more depressed. I was not, by an extraordinary miracle of numbers, drafted into the Army. So I never had to make that fateful decision. But the expectation of it had so exhausted me that I couldn't get focused on any possible future. I was at the end of my rope hope when the spring term ended, my course was over. After my last class, I walked out to Forbes Avenue to wait for the 67 bus to take me home to Point Breeze. It was a gorgeous day, sunny and warm, blue sky, just perfect. I sat on the high wall in front of the CMU administrative building and felt suddenly as free-spirited as I've ever been, as if all the pressures of my whole life had just been lifted. In that moment, with an endless smile on my face, I decided firmly, finally, incontrovertibly, with a completely clear mind, that I was done with English Lit and teaching and the academy. I mean, done, with all of it, done. I vowed that the next day I would start to look for that real job, initially in a hardware store, I thought, the family business I grew up in and for which I was very well credentialed. I felt light as a feather on the bus ride home. When I got there, I found a letter waiting for me in the mail. It contained an offer for a full graduate fellowship to study English. It came so late in the recruitment season that I had already dismissed it as an option. I was stunned and vexed. What to do about this? This free ride to pursue what I had spent years already preparing for, which had just been erased by the ecstatic state of utter inner freedom I was luxuriating in at that moment. Well, here's what I did. I thought about it for a few hours and concluded that the intersection of these two possible fates was not accidental, that this was a moment in my life at which destiny, I mean actual, real, extrinsically imposed destiny, was taking a hand. The way it does for Humphrey Bogart at the end of Casablanca, for example, letting Ilsa go and walking off with Louis. I knew with certainty, my Catholic background kicking in, that I was in that moment being called back to the path I had just decided so conclusively to abandon. I could say no, of course. That was, I knew, a genuine option. One I could choose without penalty, always is when one is called. But in order for me to live a fully worthy life in some spiritual sense, I was being asked politely to say yes. Which I did, prefiguring the 50 years of my life that have intervened since then. I was confident that this was, if not the only, or even the right path, it was the good path, the one destiny was beckoning me to head down, the way I would make my life matter to others. Any doubts I had about all this, and they persisted for about 10 years, were gradually erased by a series of almost miraculous interventions in my career, which, given my intellectual truculence and aversion to authority, should have ended catastrophically at least 3 times. Each time, fate again intervened in the most remarkable ways, and I stayed on that path forever. A couple of years ago, on one of my song-making binges, I wrote a song called "And I Had It All." Here are the lines that are pertinent to all this, which I'm sure no one would ever deduce. Well, life has its own ideas. Why you're supposed to be doesn't seem to matter whether you agree. You hear a soft voice calling from a path you didn't see. And someone else's life unwinds so unexpectedly. It's hard to say if you got lost or were just set free. Sometimes getting lost and being set free are one and the same. Lost free, like the give-receive I felt today at Woodard Bay. And sooner or later, you have to live your life as if it's someone else's and on behalf of someone else in order to make it fully your own. That's what I concluded, and that's what I did. As to the importance in this process of that brief interlude of radical freedom I felt on that wall and on the bus ride home, well, in retrospect, I see it as absolutely crucial. An essential clearing of the field, creating an openness for what destiny promises in order for it to find a firm footing. Fate was not telling me to abandon the path I was on. It was telling me to commit to it, take it, for real, not the half-assed way I had been wandering around on or near it. Do it or quit it, put up or shut up, no in between. Graduate study is, of course, a for-real enterprise, a commitment to an extended future, a promise of dedicated work over the long term, professional, not meandery. I conclude that song this way. I'm happy now. I listened to that call. Gave back what I thought I wanted. And I had it all. Everything of value in life, my jobs, my wife, my children, my writing, my leisurely retirement, all of it, evanesced on the lifeline that emerged from that moment, fully imagining, creating in a way, the future that awaited me as it flowed amicably my way.